Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
February 4th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. It's a special Sunday show. It's going to be a short one. And yes, it actually will be. Only two main topics I wanted to come on just for a quick update today to share things with you that I saw that really don't need much more context, that it's important for you to see. And I felt that needed to happen today. So I stopped what I was doing and I did this because it's all about you. Right? This is about you guys and making sure you're informed, which is quite a bit different than most other media we see today, such as the mainstream saying, this is what you're supposed to think because this is about us and our agenda, which is really what it's all about. But to actually, let me make sure of something really quickly before we get started. Let's see. I'm going to make sure that I did have this. Somebody's commenting about the audio. I want to make sure it is correct. Good. Something about StreamYard I noticed, the new platform that I'm using lately, and I probably will be using more as we go forward, is it's interesting that it refreshes those settings almost every time, but sometimes it doesn't. Very interesting. But kind of a sign, another just a sign of the changing times, right? An interesting thing to think about that these are things. I mean, I'm constantly evolving how I'm doing this and what needs to happen and how the process goes, which is uncomfortable for most people. And they know that. That's why they want this to happen. But it's almost like we need to pride ourselves on being agile and, you know, the chameleon of all of this, just willing to change and adapt to what's happening because they will continue to change the game and the rules. So we need to continue to adapt. And interesting, since I'm just kind of talking about random things really quickly, the thought that I had today, which I found very relevant to the larger discussion of all of this, like the large illusion that is COVID-19, is I find it really interesting that they're constantly saying a conspiracy theory, right? And we've talked about that so much. The truth about where that whole narrative came from, the CIA operation and how they use it to disparage real discussions. Doesn't mean there's not also crazy things that people discuss that are not based in fact, but they call it all conspiracy theory. But we just went over yesterday, which I hope you'll take the time to look at, a discussion that really dives in deep to the nanotechnology, the smart dust, the information. I mean, I'm not incredibly deep. I've done much deeper shows on it, but really lays a nice, sets the table for what's happening. And we can see that it's very possible, right? I mean, the technology's there. So is it, it's not, when they say conspiracy theory, it's not because this is just completely ridiculously impossible. The technology doesn't exist and there's nobody even doing that. That's not true. We know that it's possible. So what is it that they're calling conspiracy theory? When you really break it down, it is that the people in the powerful positions that have access to that technology just wouldn't do that. That's it. I mean, that's really the breakdown because it exists. It's possible. If somebody chose to do this, it could happen. So it only hinges on the fact that we don't think they're willing to, capable of. I mean, our own history shows us that's not true. So it just gets this, we really need to start dissecting the way that they disparage these things. And it's more about reaching those other people, not those in the chat. By and large, you guys are already aware of this sort of thing. But it's about using this. It is actually a manipulation, you know, where you can call it whatever you want. You can call it magic for if you want to, because it really is a way of manipulating the way that you perceive things. But it really just breaks down to social engineering. They are continually picking apart people's brains, reworking them and making them perceive things the way they want to. Sort of the way they break people down in the military and other forms of authoritarian situations. But anyway. I digress. The point is that it's so obvious to see how they're gaming this stuff, manipulating very basic things. And as we pointed out with the WHO, in fact, I actually still have it up. I'm not talking about it today, but on here where they talk about the idea of decisions being based on adaptive responses, not definitions. If you haven't read this document, I'll include it since I pointed to it here today. We're in 2011. The WHO pointed out everything we're saying today. And as I pointed out yesterday, the British Medical Journal followed up in November of 2020, also pointing all this stuff out. Nothing changed. Nobody cares. in regard to the mainstream. But to bring this to today, for the point we're going to get into, all of a sudden, it's just 7 years until the end of a coronavirus pandemic. Why? Well, because you're not willing to get the vaccines. Well, that's just what's going to have to happen. This is wildly manipulative. Now, the reality is, as we can see, based on how many people are getting this, based on 70% of healthcare workers saying, no, I don't want that thing, based on the military telling us an undisclosed amount, probably most of them in the military saying, no, I don't want that thing. It shows you that there's a huge pushback against this, that they're now framing as infrastructure problems or a lack of quantity. None of that's really true. The data is there. You can see that even Pfizer has said more than once that we're just waiting for them to ask for more, order more. It's there. So it's about an illusion about creating this false scarcity. So it makes it look like everybody's standing in line and can't wait to get it. And we just can't get it out fast enough. No, that's not what's happening. People are actively showing you that regardless of the narrative and the false majority and what they tell you everybody thinks, they don't think that. They don't want this thing. So now they're saying, well, because of you, it's going to take 7 years. Now, back to the thing I keep saying. What happened to going back to normal, right? Vaccine will bring us back and we can go back to what we had, and the mask and all this stuff is only temporary. 7 years? If you knew in the beginning this would last 7 years, would you still be okay with allowing all this to happen? It says it will take 7 years to end the coronavirus pandemic by getting shots in the arms of 75%. And this is what we told you in the beginning, remember? I'll get into the ins and outs of it, guys, on who said what and why, and just making sure we're understanding this. The vaccine was always the way this was going to be manipulated, right? Right. The earliest point they were setting the tone saying, we need to make sure we reach herd immunity, and that's when this will be over, right? Which in the beginning, it was just simply, once we have the vaccine, this will be over. Then it quickly moved to, but of course we need to get them in the arms of people, then it will be over. Oh, well, then we need to make sure we reach this herd immunity level, and then it will be over. No, well, now we know that that's only going to last for a couple of months, so we need another one. And then after that, and we get that, then it will be over. It's just goalposts moving every time. 75% of the people getting this, that will never happen when half the country is actively saying they don't want it. That's the point. This is meant to never end, and they know that. And all they do is using this to put it on you. Now it's your fault. But it says, but the U.S. could reach herd immunity by 2022. Their vaccination calculator shows. So this is Bloomberg using their vaccination calculator, but basing it on what Anthony Fauci said based on the numbers and when this will be over. So it's a combination of the mainstream media using Fauci's statements about this. And they're telling you that even if we do what they're telling us we should do, that will only even end in 2022, new year. So a year from now. But if we choose to continue to express our rights and those pesky free speech things that get in the way, well, then it'll take 7 years. This is like extorting you and saying, well, we're going to keep you in this jail cell unless you take this thing. But on a grand scale and happening to the whole planet, we're saying, well, you just do what we're told or we're going to keep this going. The coronavirus pandemic will drag on for another 7 years as the current rate of vaccinations worldwide, at the current rate of vaccinations worldwide, according to their calculation, predicts other their predictions from their vaccination calculator. But the obvious unspoken point here is that the natural case of herd immunity. Now, that is, of course, not even discussing the point of whether or not this is what we're being told it is, which is a valid question, but putting it off for a moment so we can address their narrative. What about the herd immunity, right? This is quickly to remember the explanation about why they changed the definition of herd immunity and then changed it back because it got caught. They got caught for in an Orwellian fashion, changing the very words and definitions we use. Again, why we shouldn't be ruled based on definition. That's exactly their point. But they changed the herd immunity definition in a feeble attempt to make it only based on vaccines. That way we can't argue, well, wait a minute, seeing as how everyone's got this everywhere based on what you're telling us, shouldn't we have herd immunity by now? Yes. So how in the world could they argue that over the process of 7 years, we wouldn't reach herd immunity? You see what I'm saying? Like, this is so wildly dishonest and actively ignoring the things that we know. They're only using the idea that vaccines are the only way to reach this so that they can sell you on this. It will take that long to reach Anthony Fauci's estimate for the herd immunity threshold of 75. So it's even then based on an estimate of people who have already gotten a lot of things wrong. you realize how incredible it is that your entire life can be held at ransom by your government based on their estimates that of people that have already been shown to estimate incorrectly, or rather just wildly make mathematical mistakes when they estimate what the actual death rate would be and just, you know, accidentally add an extra zero, or, you know, it's absurd how that actually happened. Mixing up the case fatality rate and the infection fatality rate when, you know, an accident. Which, remember, that's when Fauci did that, and that's what set the tone for how dangerous it was, but actually really wasn't. But yeah, let's trust his estimate in this case. Now it says, despite ranking sixth in the world for the pace of its vaccinations, the U.S. is predicted to reach herd immunity just in time for New Year's 2022. Okay. So that's only if we get the vaccine, you see. That's what they're telling you, because their point is that it will take 7 years if we stay at the pace we're currently at. Acting as if herd immunity is just simply not possible unless the vaccine does it, despite the WHO already changing back their definition. It says, but all of this depends on whether the vaccines are effective against the variants. So even in this article, they're already adding in the caveats. Well, even if you all do it, maybe on 2022, we'll find out that they're just not effective against a new variant that just popped up yesterday. And then you know what? It's going to keep going. Do you realize that this never, ever goes away? There's no way this feasibly goes away based on what they're already telling you. If a new variant can pop up, and that will keep us going, right? If herd immunity is not reached to exactly the number they tell us it is, it'll keep going. If there's a new pandemic tomorrow, it'll keep going. I don't know why people are actually pretending to them, lying to themselves and saying that this will end in any way, even if the illusion of COVID goes away. They've already built the infrastructure for their biosecurity state. This is the new, the terrorism of the new direction of the new administration, right? As I've said from the very beginning of this, guys, virus is the new ISIS. That's what's happening right here. The UK, in particular, it says, has sped ahead with an earlier start, a better synchronized program, and three vaccines already authorized there. Remember, as they're deciding they're going to mix and match and just play it all loosey-goosey as they wish. I think that might have been that one. No, that's the wrong one. It has given at least one vaccine dose of vaccine, that's good writing, to 15.7% of its population. At its current rate, 438,421 shots given a day. The UK will reach herd immunity well before the end of the year. Of course, that's assuming there's no variants and no other of the any number of caveats they could throw out there that would make that change. But just keep telling yourself that if we do what we're told, it'll go the way they tell us it will. But here's the interesting part, right? We're talking about the UK. So how does that make sense if the UK back in March 19th of 2020 stated and is still public on their website that COVID-19 is no longer considered a high consequence infectious disease? Does that make sense to anybody? Oh, and if you want more information, as it says, they have determined that several features have now changed. In particular, more information is available about mortality rates. Low overall. So it's not a high consequence infectious disease. Lower mortality is low overall, according to the UK's government website, which is right here. And yet we're still talking about this as if we have to force this in. And if we don't, we're all on lockdown and being arrested until we can get herd immunity to a virus that is not actually consequence of high consequence and doesn't actually have high mortality. Anybody explain that for me? It's as if we've shifted away from any logic and just focused on the idea that unless we get this experimental injection in the arms of everybody, that something bad will happen. We don't even know anymore, but just trust your government. How is it that we can have mortality that's low, under 80, almost non-existent, lower than the flu? We can know that the PCR test, which they're using exclusively to claim confirmed cases, potentially has as high as 95% false positives when used with 40 to 45 cycle threshold, which is what most are using, according to Dr. Scoglio, PhD, and numerous others. And of course, I mean, it could go on and on and on. You see, the point is all of that added to it, in addition to them telling you that it's not that dangerous, how in the world are we still doing this? It's quite crazy. At its current rate, I read that. Okay, so the point is, but the pandemic is a global affair by definition. If a country doesn't reach herd immunity, the virus could take hold there as well as export it. Okay, here's another caveat they felt to add. So now, even if everyone does what they're told, and we reach herd immunity, and the variants are not stopping the vaccine, well, if that country over there doesn't do what they're told, well, none of it matters anyway. Isn't that interesting? So now just because that bad guy over there that we're going to even, I mean, think about it like this, even if they are doing it, what they should, or even if, let's just say they don't even have an issue with COVID-19 or have herd immunity. Look at what if you're next to a place like Sweden that is not doing what they're supposed to, according to the people like this, but yet they don't have a problem. But of course the media pretends they do. So now suddenly you're next to Sweden and you get 95% of your population forcefully vaccinated and the variants are not being stopped and so on and so on. But then because Sweden's right there, well, guess what? We still have to keep doing this. You still have to distance. You still have to wear a mask. You still have to wait for the next vaccine because Sweden didn't do what they were told. And then none of that even has to be true, guys. They've lied about damn near every other part of this. The point is just giving you enough to say, oh, I guess that makes sense. So we have to wait another year, or we have to wait until they tell us it's over. Risking an international resurgence. And another threat has emerged. Super COVID variants. Ah, so now we add on top of the variant discussion, super variants. So now it continues, right? Just there's never an end to what the next thing could be that will justify not stopping what they're never going to stop, which is the mask and the distancing and the control and the technocratic rise and the great reset and the control of everything that we're doing based on their fear of you doing things you're not supposed to under the guise of stopping COVID-19. It's stopping dissent. That's what this is. Government versus you. That's what this is. 9 vaccines are authorized worldwide. At least 2 variants, those that emerged in South Africa and Brazil, might evade them. So why are we even playing this game? Why are you telling us that we have to do this to get our liberty and freedom and rights back that you're not allowed to take when it is not even certain? And then on top of that, we know that the vaccine itself won't stop transmission and won't stop any of the other things they're telling us to do. So why is any of this pretending like it will bring some kind of normalcy back? And by the way, those variants that we've already seen, there's no evidence to suggest that they're in fact more dangerous at all. According to the WHO, according to NerveTags, the group in the UK that talked about this, and they ignored them and listened to just Neil Ferguson instead. But we'll just keep pretending like it's very dangerous. So when they need to, they can throw it in your face and say, oh, it didn't work because variant. Test tube studies suggest that both Moderna and Pfizer's vaccines are likely protective against variants, but the efficacy of each was diminished. I couldn't believe that. Did you hear that anywhere? I'm sure we knew that was the case, but they continue to tout 95% efficacy. By the way, that only means reducing mild symptoms. So the efficacy of 95% is only reducing some of the mild symptoms, not really anything else. I wouldn't call that 95% anything, but on top of that, they're telling you right here, because of these new variants that they're telling you are there, the efficacy of these has already been diminished. So what is it? I guess we just don't need to be told. 50%, 10%? I guess it's just diminished. I guess we just have to guess. It likely means that their protection won't last long. Ah, so even when you take it and do everything else you're supposed to, they're telling you right there that, yeah, it maybe only lasts till next month. So you can have a month with no mask and social distancing? No. They'll tell you that we're still reaching herd immunity, and by the time you need another one, they will too, and it continues around and around. How they really work against variants in the wild remains unknown. So they're guessing. Good times. Let's just take it anyway, because there's no danger associated with this, right? If herd immunity is reached, the variant spread will be limited, and new ones won't have a chance to arise? Wait a minute. Think about this logic. If herd immunity is reached, right? So that is, of course, under their logic, only a vaccine, but let's just play with that. So let that means under their logic that a vaccine was given to 75% and they've reached herd immunity. So 75% of the population has herd immunity to COVID-19. So they're saying once that happens, right? And the point being that the variant, which is different, is not included in that point. But they're saying if you reach herd immunity with COVID-19, with the vaccine, the variants, which aren't supposed to be affected, will spread. Or the variant spread will be limited. So how? How will the spread be limited if your immunity is to a different variant? Anybody? On top of the fact that you also still continue to transmit because it doesn't stop transmission, but let's just pretend like that somehow magically stops the other variant spread. But well, then it says the new ones won't have a chance to rise. How is that? It's still transmitting. This is the most ridiculous thing ever. They keep playing with the idea that this is somehow non-existent once the vaccine is here. But then the other side of their mouth will tell you that no, we didn't stop transmission. We didn't even try to do that in the study because we weren't paid enough, according to Tal Zaks from Moderna. And if they wanted to, they could have just paid more and we would have found out. But your government chose to not pay to find out. Why would they do that? This is deceptive. But 7 years. So 15 days turned into months, turned into eight to what was it? 10, 12, almost. It's been a year almost now, depending on where you start. Now it's becoming 7 years. But that's only if you don't do what you're told. But then once you do what you're told, there'll be 1,000 other caveats that get inserted that they go, well, we did it. We do what we're told. And it will be 2022, except that variant came in. And oh, of course. It could go any which way they want it to, as usual. Now, in regard to the vaccine itself, the one that they're telling you we basically have to have or else we won't get out of this horrible thing that they're doing to us, that was given emergency use authorization by our government, despite the fact that it's untested, guys. I mean, realistically, there has been trials. But at the end of the day, in the context of what it means to fully test a vaccine, this is not fully tested. Period. And they all know that. They lie about things. They pretend we had extra studies from before that we used. And sure, those things have merit to the discussion. But at every step of this, up until it started to show dangerous side effects, they were gloating about how they rushed it. We've done this faster than ever. It was rushed. They skipped things. They combined things. This was admitted. So, to the next part that's very important, India just turned down Pfizer. For the very reasons that we're pointing out. So India's government says, no, we're denying your emergency use for this vaccine because there's a lot of side effects and because you haven't demonstrated that it has an effect in regard to what you say it does. And yet our government allowed it. So what does India's government see that we don't? Or does our government not care? Or does India's government have another agenda? Certainly questions you should be asking. One of the ones that interests me is why they would turn it down if our government says it's okay. Now, of course, there's more to the story, as you'll find out quite quickly, that Pfizer is very quickly coming around the other side with their PR campaign and going, no, we turned them down. Because everything in every situation in this COVID illusion is dishonest. Pfizer is more interested in selling this and not creating vaccine hesitancy than telling you the truth. This isn't even that crazy because it's an emergency use authorization. You could even argue that some people would maybe accept it and some people wouldn't because it's on the line. That's the narrative. My point, I find it to be way more dangerous than they're telling us. But the point is, inside of this, we can see that this is not even that crazy of a thing, but Pfizer is still unwilling to tell you the truth. That's my take on it. You look at the information, I think it's quite clear. Why India's expert panel rejected Pfizer plea for emergency use nod to its COVID vaccine. Now, the Narendra Modi government's expert panel has rejected drug maker Pfizer's application seeking emergency use for its COVID-19 vaccine after the company insisted on a waiver of clinical trials in India. That's the part you won't find in the mainstream coverage, at least not in the right context. The point is that India said, well, we want more research. There's obvious. I'll get into it more and where they say it, but they're basically saying there's obviously issues here. There's side effects that the world is seeing, and we need to demonstrate that this has the same effect in India. And Pfizer didn't like that. Pfizer's been allowed to do whatever it wants in the U.S. government, so they didn't like apparently that they were having to test for safety of the thing that they're screaming is safe without any real testing, any enough testing, we should say. This just shows you who has the power here, guys. Pfizer doesn't care. They were upset when they asked for what anybody anywhere would argue was absolutely necessary prior to this big COVID manipulation. It says the American pharma giant Friday, Pfizer, announced its decision to withdraw the application in regard to India. Get this, a day after participating in the expert panel. So the panel turns them down. The next day they run to the media and say, we're withdrawing the thing that they just turned us down for. We're withdrawing the thing that they just rejected a day after they reject it. This is like kindergarten, right? I mean, how embarrassing. But they know that the media will take their side because they don't want to create vaccine hesitancy. According to the minutes of the meeting of the subject expert committee and two official sources, by the way, the company wasn't keen on conducting the bridging trials in India and had requested for waiving clinical trials. Despite some side effects being reported in various countries, right? As we're seeing this, and all India wants is what they call bridging trials. And it says bridging trials is a supplementary trial performed in a new region to get more clinical data on efficacy, right? So you've got different people with different physiology. I mean, it makes perfect sense. And by the way, it's basically customary. So now they bring them in and they say, well, we want bridging trials to make sure that this works and to make sure those side effects we're obviously seeing are just natural and not associated with the vaccine. And they didn't like that. Think about what that shows you, that Pfizer is not okay with conducting safety trials of something that everybody's concerned about, including India's government. So the next day they go, we're rejecting you instead. I break up with you. This is so pathetic. Now it says the firm presented its proposal for emergency use authorization of COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, BNT162b. It's the same one we keep hearing about before the committee. The committee noted that incidents of palsy, anaphylaxis, and other serious adverse events, including death, by the way, which is one of those serious adverse events, have been reported during post-marketing. Post-marketing, I love that. And the causality of the events with the vaccine is being investigated. This is from the meetings, the minutes of the meeting. This is not what Pfizer wants people to hear. This is from February 3rd. This is uploaded on the Central Drug Standard Control Organization website. Now, it says the meetings also noted that, quote, the firm has not proposed any plan to generate safety and immunogenicity data in India's population. So they just want to come over and go, here's your thing, take it. And they're going, well, don't we want to test it on these people? No, just take it. You don't want the, no, oh, testing? Yeah, we're getting out of here. Obviously, it's oversimplified. I'm being facetious, but really, it's incredible to see how the way that this went down. Now, here is Pfizer withdrawing emergency use for request, and this is from NDTV. And just again, oops, don't want that. Oh, it looks like this refreshed to make sure I didn't have anything. And this was just to reiterate. Oh, that's right. Okay, so this is. Here, let's read this one first. I think I mixed those two up. Now, this is another one saying India's expert panel rejects Pfizer's application. A couple more additions here. It says India's expert panel on COVID-19 drugs and vaccines has turned down Pfizer's application for an emergency use authorization for the vaccine, you know, that the U.S. government and many others have already approved, already in use in the U.S. and U.K., in the absence of any plan on the firm's part to generate safety and immunogenicity data in the local population. So they didn't even have a plan. They're so used to every other country just seemingly not even caring about the safety and just taking their word for it, despite profit motives, despite a history of lying about safety, billions of dollars paid out from Pfizer for lying about safety and all kinds of other manipulations, but they just take their word for it. India just wants a plan and wants actual studies and safety, and they say no. Now, it says immunogenicity means the ability of the vaccine candidate to generate the desired immune response, right? God forbid India should want to prove that it actually has the response they claim it does. Think about how crazy that is. Pfizer on Friday said it had withdrawn its application. So the day after they get rejected, they say, we withdraw and submit additional data as it becomes available. India has insisted on having safety in these trials in the country. This became an important consideration for the expert panel, which noted that there has been several serious adverse events in this vaccine. A spokesman for Pfizer, however, said, quote, based on the deliberations at the meeting and our understanding of additional information that the regulator may need, the company has decided to withdraw its application. Pfizer will continue to engage with the authority and resubmit its approval request with additional information as it becomes available in the near future. But I wanted to point this out for realizing that, and that this did update, it added a couple more paragraphs, but I found it really telling. Or maybe, yeah, let's just jump to this one, redundant points. That's really telling that this is what you're finding in most reports in the U.S. Pfizer withdraws application for COVID vaccine in India. Okay, so Pfizer withdraw. Okay, let's see when they mention anywhere that prior to them withdrawing, India had rejected their asking for emergency use authorization. Pfizer has decided to withdraw its application of the EUA. Okay, in pursuance of the EUA, its COVID-19 vaccine, participated in the meeting based on deliberations. Doesn't seem to say anything about that. Pfizer will continue to engage with authority. We already read that. Isn't that interesting how the National Herald can just skip over the most important part where India's government said, we're not going to allow you to do this, and then Pfizer walked away and said, we're walking away? It's pretty interesting. Pfizer drops India vaccine application after regulator seeks local trial, which at least Reuters informs you of what happened first, but doesn't really give you the full context. It says after failing to meet the drug regulator's demand for a safety and for basically asking for what they should be willing to do. But my point is, Where's the part about India rejecting them first? Isn't that incredible? There's like a concerted effort to make sure that these people don't get shown for what they really are. It's pretty incredible to me. Now, here is actually what the recommendation said. The firm presented its proposal for emergency use authorization for the committee. The committee noted that incidents of the, this is basically what we already read, palsy, anaphylaxis, and these serious adverse events. The firm proposed, it says, and further, the firm had not even proposed a plan to generate safety and immunogenicity data in Indian populations. After detailed deliberation, the committee has not recommended for grant of permission for emergency use. Now, before we just move forward, the point is it's incredible that we can see how unwilling these people are to verify the safety or even that it works the way they say it does when confronted with anybody asking for such verification, which means, do I think, which really needs to make us ask the question, has our government even asked for that stuff? Or did they just say, good, we trust you, like the rest of the media did when Pfizer said 95% effective and the entirety of the Western media parroted that without question, despite nobody even seeing the data. But some good news is that Switzerland, and on the same point, recognizing how aggressively manipulative this whole thing is actually holding a referendum on whether to strip their government of its power to impose coronavirus lockdowns. So this is a really big deal. Some huge news. Switzerland will hold a referendum on whether to strip the government of its power to impose these lockdowns. Of course, it's based on all the stuff we're talking about, amid an increased national debate about the rights of individuals. The new vote, which will not be held until at least June, which is frustrating, is the consequence of a growing national debate about the impact of coronavirus legislation on individual rights. What's funny is, of course, at least from the perspective of the U.S. government, right? We have a debate on something that benefits them and it gets done in 12 hours. We have an issue about Trump getting impeached and one day later it's going on, right? But when we worry about something like, you know, even just $600 and $2,000, that can take weeks and months and go on forever. Of course, when it's debating about whether they should lose their power, yeah, maybe June. We'll get to it in June. Switzerland's government has not implemented strict lockdowns, which I found interesting during the coronavirus pandemic, but has emphasized the role of personal responsibility. But then this week, and this is actually posted on January 14th, so it's last month. So on January 14th, they tightened measures. They basically where does it say essential shops have been closed. Workers have been ordered to stay at home. Private gatherings have been limited. So basically these people that hadn't really had the same type of restrictive actions as other parts in the world started to see it and they pushed back immediately. We need to take a lesson from Switzerland right now, at least from the people of Switzerland. They're pushing back and saying, no, you can't do this. And we're now going to make sure you can never do it again. Too bad we don't have something like that going on here. But as Dr. Thomas Binder points out, MD, the referendum battle will force the Swiss politicians and the media to finally allow a public debate about the scientific evidence, or lack thereof, for all measures other than hygiene and voluntary self-isolation of sick persons. That is exactly zero. I hope for global impact. I do too. And to wrap up here, one more study that I want to share with you from pdmj.org. Data that disproved the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, I hope you'll take the time to read through all through this. Some of these I might follow up more on another show. So this was meant to be a short show today, including the last part I'll finish with. I'll follow up with this stuff later. But just to reiterate this point, to come off all of this, pushing vaccines based on the illusion that we're all going to die is not true. And we should know that by now. But here is yet another study finding this. And this is coming from experts, medical professionals. I mean, the fact that we just went over the British Medical Journal's editorial about this from November, calling out all the same stuff. Just read the headline, read the titles. When good science is suppressed by the medical political complex, people die. That's what they're saying. Politicians and governments are suppressing the science, period. That doesn't sound like what we're hearing. Trust the science as they suppress the very science that we're talking about. It's incredible. This study is another one. I'll just read you the couple quick points and hopefully you'll take the time to dive into it. As it says, the data all indicate, and it goes over all this stuff and really take the time to dive through this because it's well done. The data all indicate that there has been no pandemic in the U.S. in 2020. The point of this was to just look over the data, primarily the all-cause mortality from year to year, and look at where we are. And they go through much more than just that. And of course, they talk about the flu and pneumonia and the combination of the two, using them for the numbers. I mean, it's everything we've been telling you guys, and it's all there. It really does come down to choosing to recognize the facts or listening to what you're being told they are. Think about what that says about the intelligence level of all these people in the mainstream media, these stars and famous people and Twitter influencers that are taking at face value what they're told from people they trust. Think about what that says about them. But under the conclusion, here's what it says. On examination of all the diverse data, and there is a lot of it, from the CDC mortality data to obituaries to Wall Street earning reports, they even included purchasing of oxygen and different machines in the larger context versus previous years to see if there was more purchasing of these things. And by the way, there should be, based on what they're telling us is happening. Guess what? There wasn't. But including all of that data, it says there are enough indicators that a pandemic involving a severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS virus, could not have taken place, at least not in the United States in 2020. How many of these do we really need to see before we start recognizing that we are being lied to, guys? All this is sourced, all of it. You can read it all for yourself and confirm it all for yourself. The data shows us that we are not dealing with what they're telling us we are. They are either being manipulated by people above them, doctors, scientists, professionals, and thinking they're looking at the full picture, or they know that they're misrepresenting the full picture because it's not happening. Whether we're looking at the mortality numbers, whether looking at the overall mortality, whether looking at the PCR tests or any of this stuff, every single aspect of this has huge holes in the story. And yet they're still patching it together and pretending like it's completely fit. It's time to push back, ladies and gentlemen, because despite this evidence and the reality that's not really there the way they tell us it is, welcome to the federal mask police starting to target travelers as of the 1st of February. The federal mask police. These are mask cops that are now going around and enforcing whether or not you're wearing your mask or even wearing it properly or the right kind or the longest or long enough period. And there's 100 different parts within it all that completely leaves it up to their discretion. The documents tell you you can take it off while you're eating, but only briefly. So what if I am eating for a brief period of time? I put the mask back on for 30 seconds and take it off and continue to eat for a brief period of time. Well, I'm sure they'll complain about that, but I'm actually complying. Because the point is that if I'm taking it off for a brief, they didn't say you couldn't do it for a brief period of time repeatedly, right? I put the mask back on for 5 minutes and then do it again for a brief period of time. The point is, if I can do that all day and wear the mask only 10% of the time, that wouldn't be okay with them. But it doesn't matter. The point is that these are arbitrary rules, like having restaurants open, but you got to keep the TV off. None of it makes sense. And it's almost as if they want you to be upset. I truly believe they want to use a radicalized, disenfranchised portion of the population. I think they're aiming at the Q, and right in particular right now, to get them to react, to use them to justify their pushback into claiming domestic terrorism is overtaking this country, which will just simply, by the way, oh, what a coincidence, continue to bolster the same agendas they're using with COVID-19. I guess that's just coincidence though, right? You know, the idea of locking you down, controlling where you are, social distancing and contact tracing. Oh, that's the same as, you know, surveillance and making sure that we're caught. I mean, you could align these two things and it's the exact same agenda for different reasons. Hopefully we can all see that today. And then you have doctors who are literally calling for people to die because they don't wear the mask of gospel that he somehow ignorantly believes is the truth, despite all of the actual science. Whoever goes to Dr. Cleveland, MD, I pray that you find some other doctor. He says, Naples, Florida, let them die. I'm so tired of these people. So people that are making their own choices? No vaccine for y'all. You mean like places that aren't having these effects? What we're talking about is that one place in Naples that the media decided to pick up on, and they go, oh, look at how horrible these people are, acting like it was a one-off thing. It's not. It's all over the place. If we can have entire areas like this where they're not masking and distancing and there's not a complete outbreak and overthrow, I mean, it shows you the reality. And by the way, that's why this person also pointed out what I've shown you. Oh, look, here's a guy walking for 5 minutes through shopping malls and places in Sweden. Not a single mask, no social distancing. And guy, this happens every single day. I've shown you this for 6 months. How is it possible that they're not overcome with chaos? It's because it's not really happening. But of course, Dr. Cleveland, MD, would nonetheless ask for these people to die because they don't do what they're told. Quite alarming. People like this are okay with allowing this for 7 years. Because he probably feels that this is giving him a level of power he's never felt before. Simply by virtue of being, oh man. Wow, okay. I really hope that I have been playing or showing the screen this whole damn time. That's quite frustrating. See, this is what happens when you... This is what happens when you use new platforms. But you know what? Since you guys have been painfully, it doesn't really change the information, but damn it. If you guys have not been seeing this, I can't remember if I switched away from my screen or just haven't been showing it this whole damn time, which is pretty frustrating. Just so you guys can see all the information. Let's see. I wonder if someone's going to comment on it. Now they are, maybe. I don't know. No screen at all. I don't know. Who knows what's going on? But these are all just little small things that I'm work out as we go forward with new platforms. But nonetheless, all this will be included for you guys to read for yourself. The idea that, 7 years for this to all go through, India rejecting the vaccine and so on, the mask police, Sweden's referendum, and then to finish with Cleveland MD telling you that you should die if you don't do what you're told. Because that's what good people do. But now back to just me. Thank you all for being here today. And I appreciate it for the special Sunday show, 43 minutes. Good. That's pretty short for us in general, but a lot of good information here. I hope you'll continue to share it. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And please help people recognize how obvious this is, how truly unbelievably obvious it is that this is not actually happening. Please help people see it. I love you all. As always, question everything, come to your own conclusions, and remember this has happened before. Stay vigilant.
The swine flu scare of 1976. That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed. There had been cases in Australia that were reported by the press, by the news media. There were cases in...
None confirmed. Did you ever uncover any other outbreaks of swine flu anywhere in the world?
No.
Now, nearly everyone was to receive the shot in a public health facility where a doctor might not be present. Therefore, it was up to the CDC to come up with some kind of official consent form, giving the public all the information it needed about the swine flu shot. This form stated that the swine flu vaccine had been tested. What it didn't say was that after those tests were completed, the scientists developed another vaccine, and that was the one given to most of the 46 million who took the shot. That vaccine was called X-53A.
Was X-53A ever field tested?
I can't say. I would have to...
It wasn't.
I don't know.
Well, I would think that you're in charge of the program.
I would have to check the records. I haven't looked at this in some time.
Did anyone ever come to you and say, you know something, fellas? There's the possibility of neurological damage if you get into a mass immunization program.
No.
No one ever did?
No.
Do you know Michael Hatwick?
Yes, mm-hmm.
Dr. Michael Hatwick directed the surveillance team for the swine flu program at the CDC. His job was to find out what possible complications could arise from taking the shot and to report his findings to those in charge.
Did you know ahead of time, Dr. Hatwick, that there had been case reports of neurological disorders, neurological illness, apparently associated with the injection of influenza vaccine?
Absolutely.
You did?
Yes.
How'd you know that?
By review of the literature.
So you told your superiors, the men in charge of the swine flu immunization program, about the possibility of neurological disorders?
Absolutely.
What would you say if I told you that your superiors say that you never told them about the possibility of neurological complications?
That's nonsense. I can't believe that they would say that they did not know that there were neurological illnesses associated with influenza vaccination. That simply is not true. We did know that.
I've said that Dr. Hatwick had never told me of his feelings on this subject.
And he's lying.
I guess you would have to make that assumption.
Then why does this report from your own agency, dated July 1976, list neurological complications as a possibility?
I think the consensus of the scientific community was that the evidence relating neurologic disorders to influenza immunization was such that they did not feel that this association was a real one.
You didn't feel it was necessary to tell the American people that information?
I think that over the years we have tried to inform the American people as fully as possible.